Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she was alone in her bedroom late at night when she saw someone pass by her doorway. Someone who looked exactly like her mother, but moved in a way no living person ever should.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ta-da! We're the aristocrats. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, yes, you can also write it at realghoststoriesonline.com. Does anybody get that joke? Does anybody?
I didn't at all.
No, no, me either.
But it made me
It was a comedy movie. It was the punchline to a joke in the late 90s, early 2000s. There's a documentary about it called The Aristocrats. And it's just a combination of like 60 great comedians telling the aristocrats joke. And all it is, you tell this horrific story of like the most dirty, god-awful thing you can conjure up in your mind. And the punchline is, and they go, ta-da, we're the aristocrats. That's just how it ends. It's a dry, dark joke from way back. I'm surprised more people don't know that one. I don't know.
I have never even encountered that.
It's a good documentary, too, because there's a lot of really good comedians on it.
I would like that.
Yeah, it's just called The Aristocrats. Just look, it's good.
I did see Nate Bargatze since.
That's right. How did that go?
Remember last week I left, I like got off here real quick
and yes.
wasn't left. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Was it?
Good.
It was really a really fun show.
Yeah.
I loved it.
He puts on a good one.
He puts on a really good show. And Harper and I were talking about it the other day because I like him because his humor is very story-based. It's not like punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah.
It's just this story-based humor, and it's just, his delivery is very good.
Who did we see in Tulsa earlier this year, Carol, together?
Josh Johnson.
That was good, too.
Oh, I love him. I would love to see him.
Yeah, that
was Daily Show.
Christmas present from last year.
Yes.
That's what I got Tony and Harper for Christmas. We just met in Tulsa.
I guess I better get working on a Christmas gift for Tony because you've gotten him cheese and comedy. I've gotten...
I know. Last year...
No, it was Harper's gift. Harper's gift was the comedy.
Okay.
I think I got cheese. No, I got a mug. Did I get a mug?
No, I gave you a ticket to Josh Johnson.
Oh, yeah. It was Josh. Oh, that was part of mine. Yeah, you're right. Really you're right. Cheese. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So it was fun and like it was a really cool show and we got Harper a signed poster and it was so funny because he had posters made for each city.
Yeah. Yeah.
The date was incorrect on the Tulsa shows. And so every one of them was signed like, "Oh, my bad, Josh Johnson," or "Whoopsies, Josh Johnson."
It was fun. The next morning, we went to brunch at this really creepy, cool place in Tulsa. Remember, it was an old hotel type building.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a hotel.
Yeah.
And the basement is kind of like this speakeasy-ish feeling nice restaurant. It was really good. I can't think of the name of the place, but we've been there. Have we gone there twice now?
I've only been there once. when we went to brunch there, but it's really cool because we all liked it so much that we went into the hotel part.
Yeah.
Outside of the brunch part, just so we could look around and ask them if it was haunted. And they're like, oh.
Yeah. I want to say me and Harper have been there another time.
Seems like you had, which is why you wanted to go there, because you enjoyed the brunch.
I'm trying to remember why I was there the first time. I don't remember.
You had stayed there maybe.
Maybe we were in Tulsa for something. I don't remember. But it was a creep. It was a neat hotel where like they even had like the library still in the hotel. And
it was
neat. We should try and figure out what that place is. While we're listening to a ghost story, I'm going to try and see if I can find it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller and hear a ghost story.
Catlin from Louisville, Kentucky. And I've called in a couple times before, and I hope this one makes it on the radio. I haven't heard the other one yet. But this is probably one of the more substantial things that's ever happened to me in my life. I was about 19, and I was living with my mom. It was probably about midnight, and I was in my apartment in my room playing video games, and her door was right to the right of mine. And I was sitting on my bed, and maybe 5 feet away from my door, out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw my mom go across my doorway into her room. And this all happened in a matter of, you know, maybe 10 seconds. And it hit me that it looked like my mom was floating, like it's not walking. I paused the game and went to look at my doorway. I've never had anything like this happen before or nothing like this. Real quick, it like came from my mom's room from the right, swung around my doorway, came straight at me, and it was so fast. And it got about maybe 2 feet away from my face, and I blinked and jumped backwards. It when I opened my eyes again, it wasn't there. But it was my mom. It looked like my mom had a white nightgown on, looked like it was torn, like tattered all up. She had either white or blonde hair, and her face was white eyes, really older looking, like an older lady, and had her mouth open, which had, her mouth was all black with rotted teeth in it. And it really scared me. I paused for a second and like I couldn't have seen what I've just seen. I tried to put it in the back of my mind like I couldn't have just seen it, you know, that kind of thing. After that, for a while, I started having these really bad dreams and experiencing things in my room, like something sitting on my bed. I was almost asleep and something came and sit on my bed and made me kind of move toward it, I guess, when it sat down. And I thought it might have been my dog or something, so I jumped around real quick, and nobody was there. I had to sleep, it was kind of embarrassing, but I slept with cartoons on in my room, I guess, for like the good vibes or something, or a comedy movie on for months, because I kept having these dreams of demonic stuff, like crosses turning upside down, me coming in contact with these weird looking things, like tiny black, horrible, horrible looking gnomish things in my dream, like gremlin things, that all they wanted to do was just hurt me. And I had this go on for months. And finally, I watched, after that, I kind of got into ghost shows, patents and all that. And I've seen that sometimes you have to take charge, tell it to go away. So one day after I had this dream, woke up and it felt like my room was shaking. I don't know if it actually was or not, but I woke up and I was either trembling so bad it felt like my room was shaking, or it was maroon shaken. I'm not really sure. I told it whatever it was. I finally got up the courage to tell it stop. If anything is trying to take me over or get inside me or anything negative in my life, that it has to leave. It is not welcome here. It just has to go. And up until I was in my late 20s, I never had anything happen again.
And it just ends so abruptly. So after that, nothing.
Until he was in his late 20s.
Well, and I have to wonder, was it until he's nothing happened again until that one day?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, how do I take that?
Yeah. I got the feeling other stuff happened.
I kind of feel like that too. I'd love to know
Could
more.
Could you kind of have, I call it paranormal PTSD, but like seeing something like that would be so disturbing that I do think it would be hard to sleep after that. Mm-hmm. And then could that just really mess with your dreams and your sleep?
Yeah. Well, I think anything traumatizing could.
Yeah. You know, was it paranormal? Like, was he having sleep issues because of that? Or was it paranormal sleep issues?
Yeah. A combination of both.
Yeah. I want to just divert briefly because, Carol, your tree's really looking nice behind you now.
Oh, it's starting to glow.
Yeah. Yes.
I put it there just for Todd. It's a little bitty, bitty Christmas tree.
That's one of those metal.
Go ahead, continue. I'm just going to sing. I'm just going to.
I like how you're, Christmas tree.
So, you know, it was the 60th anniversary of the Charlie Brown Christmas this year. And I found some stuff out about that show. First of all, it actually increased real Christmas tree sales, and the tin trees actually tanked after that. So it actually did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the other thing that I thought was interesting is Charles Schulz did not like jazz music at all. And so all those classic songs from all of it. He was okay with it because he felt like it matched the show and the feel, but he did not like it himself.
Yeah.
Which he's funny.
I'll take this all the way to the bank.
And it's still huge today. People hear those songs today and whatever. So sorry that I invert, but your little tree's glowing back there.
Yeah.
I forgot I had it back there because you couldn't see it until now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were, me and my fiance were sitting in bed the other day and we're like, we want to watch a Christmas movie. It was Sunday afternoon. It was like, let's just chill and go watch something. And the first thing that popped up was a Charlie Brown Christmas. And it's like, you know, and then we ended up watching, what did we watch? I'm trying to think. I don't remember. This is my memory today. I couldn't tell you what I watched the other day. I did watch I talked about this the other week. What version of it is of A Christmas Carol?
The George C. Scott one.
George C. Scott. That's the name I'm thinking of.
That's like from the 60s or 70s.
Oh, we watched Christmas with the Cranks. Have you ever seen that? That's a good one. It's based on a John Grisham book called Skipping Christmas. Tim Allen's in it. It's funny. It's kind of like a modern take on that. And I can't think of the other one we watched anyway. But I like the old classic. I have some information on the Ambassador Hotel, by the way.
Which is
the
name of the hotel.
That was it.
All right. It is the Ambassador. Well, now it's the Ambassador. I don't, you know, that's what its current incarnation is. But it opened its doors in April of 1929, right at the tail end of the Roaring Twenties, when Tulsa was drowning in oil money and ambition. It was built by Patrick Hurley. And there's a whole like exhibit to him in the library of this hotel.
Yeah,
yeah. A coal miner's kid turned millionaire lawyer, the 10-story Mediterranean marvel. And at this point in time, one of the biggest in the city. Now it's like kind of off to the side. Was designed for one very specific purpose, to impress his father-in-law, an admiral, and to house the oil barons who were too busy getting rich to wait for their mansions to be finished. But here's the thing about Hurley. He never spent a single night in the hotel he built. A month before the grand opening, President Hoover tapped him for Washington for Secretary of War, first Oklahoman ever in a presidential cabinet. He left Tulsa and never came back, and maybe that set the tone for everything that followed, because then the Depression hit, the oil dried up, the ambassador went from housing tycoons to housing seniors, and by 1987, the doors closed for good, so it turned into an old folks' home. For over a decade, it sat there, vandalized, crumbling, forgotten, a ghost of Tulsa's golden age rotting in plain sight. But some buildings don't stay dead. In 1999, a developer named Paul Corey saw what everyone else had written off. $5.5 million later, the ambassador was reborn. And today, she sits on the National Register of Historic Places, a boutique hotel draped in her original Mediterranean elegance, whispering stories of oil money, politician ambition, and a man who once built a palace he never got to enjoy. It's like the Roaring Twenties are back over at the Ambassador.
Is this, and this is in Wichita?
No, this is in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay. Cause
it's like our halfway point between me and Carol. So when we meet up, we usually go to Tulsa.
I was just looking up the Ambassador in Wichita because I got my,
bearings. Another one.
Yeah. And that's really cool. That reminds me of the Retlaw in Fond du Lac. Yes. It's so similar. Yes. Now I'm looking at the one in Tulsa. Oh, this is cool. Very cool.
The Ambassador in Wichita is also another interesting building that sat there abandoned forever. And then they refurbished it. And last time I was in there was like 15 years ago, but eating at the restaurant.
I may be mistaken.
Yeah.
And it was either in that building or right next to it, but I think it was in that building. The main floor when it was built was the Dockham drugstore, which the Dockham sit-in happened, and it was where the black teenagers sat at the counter at the drugstore to get served.
Yeah.
And they weren't allowed, and they sat there anyway. And so it's got some huge historical significance, and there's a really great sculpture around the corner, life-size, of a drugstore counter with the little stools and...
It was either there or someplace really close. I don't, off the top of my head.
I think it is in that building because the speakeasy is the Dockham speakeasy in the basement.
Yeah.
That building.
Oh, it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that that was, I didn't even know that was there. That's neat. That's new to me. But yeah. Do we have another ghost story on this episode?
Yeah, we do. There we go.
Let's do that. 855-853-4802. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Catlin from Kentucky. Oops.
Maybe I should get the right one.
It's not Catlin from Kentucky.
Let me see. I thought I pulled up the right one, but didn't we just hear from Catlin?
Back it up, Carol. Back it up.
Huh? Ooh, what?
Let me look. Maybe.
And something came and sit on my bed.
I don't know if I got two of them from the same guy.
Catlin from.
Okay, that one is that one. So
that
maybe
one it's, is that the, one
maybe
is
it's
that one.
From the same person. Let me get that back up again. Hold on. Here we go.
Alan from Kentucky. And I want to tell you a couple stories that I had when I was in high school. I've called before. This is the same house I called about. I'm not going to tell one of the stories, but I had a couple more. I had a buddy I lived next to in high school, and his mom always said that their house was haunted. She said she always felt that her aunt was there and that she had died in the house earlier before they moved in. And I was a teenager, so I was like, yeah, whatever. Didn't really listen to it. But it started with me and my buddy was down in his basement. We were playing video games. It was just me and him in the house. His cat was sitting on the couch with us, which was the only other animal they had. and we heard really loud footsteps go across the floor above us. And we thought it was his mom, but they sounded really heavy. I remember that. And we walked up the stairs, checked for his mom. Nobody was there. No car in the driveway or anything. That really freaked us out. I think we left the house and went down to my house for a little while. Another time, this was the next experience I had. We were playing video games in his basement again. I had fallen asleep on his couch. His couch was like 5 feet away from the stairs. It was in the middle of the night. I usually leave the TV on down there because it kind of freaked me out. I guess he had turned the TV off before he went to bed. I wake up to the sound of somebody coming down the stairs. His stairs are super creaky, and you could definitely know it's when somebody's coming down. They're wooden. I heard footsteps coming down each stair. I still had my eyes closed and everything. And once I heard feet hit the tile floor, I kind of, you know, raised my head up and looked to see if anybody was there. Nobody was there. I went over to the light switch and, you know, it was super dark down there. So I went over to the light switch to see if anybody had come down the stairs, and I just didn't see them. And nobody was down there in the basement with me, which really, really freaked me out because I know 100% that it wasn't a dream. I was awake hearing this. I left their house in the middle of the night. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 or 4 in the morning, and walked to my house. I don't even think I slept that night after that. I just was kind of, you know, trying to rationalize it, I guess. But the last thing that happened in his house was the freakiest thing that probably happened to me ever. I was, again, asleep on his basement, or in his basement on the couch. At the end of their basement, they had this really big picture window. And there was a closet thing that stuck out and overlapped the window a little bit. When I opened my eyes, I could see something blocking the light out of it. And it was the silhouette of a person, all black. You know, I couldn't tell clothes. It was just one solid black figure. I rubbed my eyes, and as soon as I did that and my eyes became clear, I could see it turn and dart into the wall. And it kind of confused me. I hollered my friend's name, his sister, anybody that I could think that would be down there. I called their name out. Nobody ever answered. So after a few seconds, I got up and went over there and looked, and there was nobody there. It's just a little area with a dartboard. Nothing over there where they could have gotten out. That I stood there in just kind of like disbelief that I was seeing what I was seeing, trying again to rationalize it, and I couldn't. So I went upstairs. Well, I kind of darted upstairs, and I never spent the night in his basement again after that. I was kind of a skeptic up until that point, and that made me a believer.
I can't believe he spent the night there. Yes, he did. Right? He was quite brave.
I'd pass. Hard
like
pass.
After the night he walked home, that'd have been it for me. I'd been somebody's coming down the stairs. Nobody's here. I'm walking home. I wouldn't have done it again. And then he did it again, and it got even worse. Kathy and I were talking about it recently, about how many stories we've had, especially teenage boys, playing video games in a basement and having hauntings happen.
It's a good place, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're hearing people walk around upstairs usually.
But I'm surprised they notice it because they're so engaged in the game that there's any, I mean, sometimes humans can interact in the room and they're like shocked there's a person there. You know?
They probably, it's like, great, your mom's home. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's home. No, she's not. There's nobody here.
It's just a ghost. Yeah. I had one the other day. I'm not sitting here playing video games, but I was upstairs. I was working, and it sounded like there's a certain sound to my front door opening and closing, as compared to the other doors in the house. It just, it is what it is. And it opens, you know, when like Harper, I get pick her up at school. So she doesn't even like take the bus anymore. I was thinking back when she used to take the bus, there's that. Or if my fiance is coming over, then she'll, you know, come in. That's about the only people who are using the door where I'm actually going to hear it. And I was upstairs working and I knew she was on her way over. And I heard what I swore to God was the sound of the door opening and closing. And even the dogs were like, oh, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm not thinking anything weird. And then I walk out like, hey, car's not out there. Harper's in her room. And that door did not open.
So my studio's in the basement of my house. I have an old farmhouse, and it's the kind of floors where they creak and moan, and you know, it's just whatever. So you know if somebody's walking around.
Sure.
And I think I had that happen to me once in this house right after my mom died. And the craziest thing about it was my dog was in the studio with me, and he heard it and went running upstairs thinking that somebody was upstairs. You know, not like barking or anything, but like, oh, you know, I'm going to go see who's upstairs. Nobody in the house.
Yeah.
But one of my doors was closed, which is never closed. It's the door at the base of my stairs from my second floor. There's a door there.
Sure.
I just never closed, but for some reason it was closed that day.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, it's weird. And I got cameras and everything. Like, there's nothing. Like, I don't know what. And there was no package because I thought, well, you know, did somebody kind of, you know, UPS show? This is packages all right now with this time of the year. So you come and if you're going to, you know, rather than ring the bell, boom, boom, you know, out. Nothing there.
Wow.
No, I don't know what the hell it was. I don't know. I do not know. Or do I?
I don't think you do, but
it was me.
Oh, it's Satan, ladies and gentlemen. Satan. Here to say Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
I am. I'm here, you know, at the time. It's a special time of year for everybody. And I just want to, you know, wish everybody a happy holiday. Remember the reason for the season and all that. Because, you know, without that going on, I wouldn't be here either. So I got to be a little bit thankful. So.
Wow. Satan, you know.
Oh, we celebrate down here. We do. We sing Silent Night, you know, we Carol of the Bells. I do like the creepy version. Everybody kind of likes it. It's kind of a, you know, spooky song, like dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun.
And then I take the bells, the giant bells that go bum 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 bum, and I take the heads of the people who've come to hell and I jam them all into one, and I just hit it with a large sledgehammer that I bought at Lowe's the other week really hard. Bum bum bum. And then, okay, here we go, sinners. Bum. And that's how I celebrate Christmas Eve. I know everybody has their own traditions, and I hope you all enjoy yours. Just wanted to say Merry Christmas.
It's the Carol of Hell's Bells is what it is.
It is what it is, you know.
Yep.
It's
it's funny, Todd.
I always like to try and steal a couple souls on Christmas. You know, it's... You know, I just, a few extras. It's, you know, some people are having a bad night, and I'm like, you know, I'm here. Old Satan's gotcha. Old Satan Nick. And people are thinking they're talking, so many people misspell it. People are like, you know, oh, Santa. And people fuck it up and they do Satan and spell check. And I'm like, you just called me in, bitch. Here I come. And then fucking Jack Black makes a movie about it. You know, it's like, this is kind of a secret I've been doing for years, you fucking asshole.
I celebrate the holidays by stealing a couple of souls.
That's what you do.
Opportunity.
Come on. I'm the angel of darkness.
Oh, my God.
Mommy, is that Santa on the roof?
No, dear. It's Satan. Honey.
It's a time for giving and taking.
Souls.
There you go. That's going to wrap up this edition of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Good.
you want to. Access to the bonus episodes and all that. Check it out. Patreon. Search Real Ghost Stories online. Until next time. For Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories online.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.